Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts not only be acceptable while we are in this place, but be acceptable when we leave this place. Make them really more acceptable when we leave, when there's more on the line. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the 12th chapter, the 13th through the 21st verses. It's entitled, Warning Against Greed. Someone from the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to him, Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother? And then Jesus said to them, Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy. Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, What will I need? I have no place to store my harvest. And then he thought, Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself? This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I need to know, was anybody in here in Illinois last week? It's just a question. Because I'm pretty sure somebody in our church was in Illinois last week and they thought that they were a long way from home and nobody would know that they bought the Mega Million winning ticket. I believe this scripture will be fulfilled in the life of the winner. They will call somebody, the brother of the person who won the Mega Millions, and they will call an arbiter and they will say, Tell my brother to share his inheritance. The winner, I promise, whose family tree was a single stem coming up out of the ground, is now the biggest family tree that's ever been. It's bigger than the Smith family. And you know, there are more Smiths than there are people. It's unbelievable. Now, if I was the one they were calling, I would say, well, I will get around to you and what you think is yours. But first, I must get to them about what I know that the Lord says is the church's portion. And regardless of the way you decided to take the money, it was $1.3 billion, so you owe me $130 million. So hand it over, because the Lord needs it. And I think I'm a good steward of the Lord's money. I will also believe that this person who won, whatever financial problems they were having before now, they have different problems today. And if they are greedy people before, they will be greedy people after. And if they are generous people before, they will be generous people after. I just pray they don't ruin their life. That's a lot of money. They're rich. But so are we. So are we. Two of my favorite passages of Scripture are Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verses 7 through 9, and Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 18. I'm going to read both of them, but right now, I want to read Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have to have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may be poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. These passages and this passage from Luke are troubling. They're hard to preach because within a congregation, there are people who are very generous and there are people who are not. Somewhere in the midst of this, the Holy Spirit, I hope, will be working on all of us because all of us need to grapple, we need to wrestle, we need to understand what God desires of us. So don't think I'm pointing fingers at any of you. I'm letting the Holy Spirit do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. This is a hard scripture to preach. In fact, in 24 years of ministry, I have never preached from this passage. And you might say, after today, he still hadn't. But I'm going to attempt to do it. It's troubling because we're called to look at who we are and what we have. There's a balance. There's a balance in what we have. Do the things that we own, the assets we have, all the things that we possess, do they own us or do we own them? When we look at the parable, the rich person, I think the things that he had owned him. 5 or 6 weeks ago, I talked about a hierarchy of values, and the thing that we value the most in our life, that truly is our God. My guess is the rich man who had all the blessing, his possessions were his God because he wanted them. He wanted more of them because what he had, his barns were already full and he had a bountiful harvest and he wanted all of it. So his possessions possessed him. And that's a terrible place to be. It's a very terrible place to be. Do our things own us, or do we own them? And because of the way he reacted to his things, Jesus called him a fool. And in Psalms 14:1, it reads, the fool has it in his own heart that there is no God. A fool is a practical atheist. Now, if we look back a couple of chapters to the 10th chapter of Luke, we see this wonderful, wonderful story about Mary and Martha. And Jesus is there eating for dinner. Martha is playing the part of Martha Stewart. It is a great day. There's going to be a great meal there. There's nobody better to have there in the house than Martha Stewart, right? It's going to be a great, beautiful meal. Well, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? Martha is upset and goes to Jesus and says, tell my sister I need help. And Jesus says, Mary's the one who's doing the right thing. And in that story, Martha is distracted. 2 chapters later in our story, when the brother wants the inheritance that his brother has, he is distracted. This is about being distracted. Times in our lives we can be distracted and not pay attention to the things that we should be listening to and dealing with. You see, we can become truly addicted to our possessions. God knew this. God knows this, which leads me to my second favorite passage. It comes from Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 18. Moses is coming down from the Mount Sinai with the law, with the commandments. God has told him all these things to tell him, the law, show him all that stuff. And then he has some other things to say, and this is what Moses says about the children of Israel once they make it into the promised land and they've conquered the people who live in that land. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, and when you have herds and flocks and they grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will be proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness in the thirsty and the waterless land, and it was venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is you today. Moses was warning the children of Israel exactly what Jesus was warning us. You see, because that guy, he thought he was the one who produced the bountiful harvest. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, the land produced the abundant harvest. But the man thought it was all about him. And you can hear it in what he says. He said to himself, what will I do? I have no place to store my harvest. And then he thought, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, you have stored up plenty of goods. Enough to several years, take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. It's about balance. Because Jesus nowhere tells us that we shouldn't be good stewards. He tells us nowhere it's bad to save for the rainy day and those sorts of things. He doesn't say that. But he has no concern for anyone other than himself. Augustine speaks truth when he writes this about this parable. The wealthy farmer did not realize that the bellies of the poor were much safer storehouses than the man's barns. Think about that. When we start thinking about when we see people in need, what does it do to us? I'm sad to say, sometimes my compassion for people depends on how busy I am. People who are busy, who have their mind and they are on a mission and they got their head down and they got the blinders on, sometimes we won't allow ourselves to see those around us who are crying for help or who need us. Do we? We judge people quickly. I do not have time for them. And in a moment and in a flash, we carry the identity of the rich man. My stuff is my stuff at this moment. It's mine. It's not the Lord's. In that moment, we also forget who we are in the Lord. And what God's done to us, for us. Several weeks ago, I was watching a video. I came across it. It's an old video. I admit it's old, but it's a good video. It's a video that has, my mind just went blank. Jeff Foxworthy. Amazing how good my mind is sometimes. It'll come back just like that. Jeff Foxworthy is being interviewed by Andy Stanley. And in this, they're talking about how God has worked in Jeff's life. And Jeff tells the story of being at the Carter Center with one of his daughters. His daughter was there for some kind of program or whatever, and he's looking around. His daughter has to go to the bathroom, and it takes longer than it should have taken. And he's looking around and he talks to this guy at a booth from the Atlanta mission. And the guy recognizes Jeff, and Jeff, they have a conversation. The guy gives Jeff his phone number, gives him a brochure, said, I'd love to talk to you. Just give me a call. Jeff leaves, goes home, puts the brochure on the kitchen counter, and he leaves it there. Several weeks pass. His wife says, do you want this brochure? And he says, yeah, just leave it there. This goes on for about a month or two. And eventually, Jeff gets around to calling the guy, and the guy invites him down to the Atlanta mission for a conversation. Jeff's thinking, maybe he wants me to be the spokesperson for the Atlanta mission, maybe to give him some publicity, maybe to get some of my friends to go donate some money or whatever. And they are just talking about how he might serve at this lunch at the mission. And he said everything kind of changed when he sees a guy walking up, 21 years old, and he understands he's homeless, he's addicted to drugs, and he thinks in his mind, the reason he's here is because he's lazy. He won't work. If he was, he could work. He could get up and go to work, and he wouldn't have those problems. And when he walks away, the man he was eating with says, that young man, when he was 11 years old, his mother committed suicide. The next year, his brother committed suicide. Only people left was his father and this young boy at 12. And when the young man was a sophomore in college, his father committed suicide. In the midst of that pain and sorrow and hurt, he decided to get high. And Jeff Foxworthy says, if that had happened to me, I'd have gotten high. It changed the way he looked at everyone there. Because everyone there has a hurt, a pain that you cannot see. You cannot see. And to think that they are just worthless or sorry or whatever it is not the case. So he said yes to a Bible study on Tuesday mornings at 6:30. He started by buying Chick-fil-A biscuits. It's amazing how a Bible study would grow if you include Chick-fil-A biscuits. It grew to all the people in the program, 250 men, every Tuesday morning, 6:30. 15 group leaders with Jeff meeting every Tuesday morning. Somewhere along the way, Jeff gets this idea, it's Christmas, and he wanted to try something, and he talked to the director and said, I want to give $100 to everybody in the program. And the director said, no, they won't be able to handle that much money. They will, some will fall off the wagon. Well, I think, they have a conversation. Well, they decide to do something. And so what he decided was $50. So we went and got 250 brand new, crisp $50 bills. In the room, he said, I'm getting ready to give you $50. This is your money to do with it whatever you want. Whatever you want. There are no strings attached. Please do not think there are strings attached. You can do with it whatever you want. He said, but I have a basket here in the front, right here in the middle. You see, somewhere near here, there is a elementary school that burned down, and they have no school supplies. And so you might want to help buy them some school supplies. And then I talked to Choa, and they were going to have over 300 children in the hospital on Christmas morning. And you know, winter is supposed to be really cold, and there are people who need coats. We might want to buy some coats. So if you feel like it, you can put some money in there. But just know, every dollar you put in that basket, we're going to match it. We're going to double it. And they're sitting there, and people started coming and put the $50 back into the basket. And they reached in their pockets, and they pulled out $5 bills and $10 bills and whatever bills they had in their pockets. And then men were leaving and going upstairs to their room and coming back and pouring change and all the change they had into the basket. Jeff says that's when he lost it. He had to leave. He said he went out and got up against the wall and wept like he has never wept as an adult. Because he said, you know, I've felt good when I've written checks to people, to organizations, and to people who need help. I feel good about myself when I do that because I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. He said, but I've never given all that I have. And I just saw 250 men give everything they had when they are homeless and have nothing. What does the Lord require of us? I don't know what He requires of us. I think He requires more of us than we think He requires of us. I think He requires that we keep our eyes open, that we make sure that we check our hearts every day to make sure that the things we have are not the things that possess us. That we keep our eyes open and our ears open to hear the needs of the people around us. One of the most beautiful things we do every year is what we do, we'll be doing today when we pack school supplies and when I take those school supplies tomorrow to CCM. Every classroom at Kingsley and Chestnut, well, those teachers will have a box of supplies that they would have probably had to buy themselves for their class. There are 200 children who do afternoon school, after school classes at Cross Cultural Ministries over in Doraville, and 200 of them will have all their school supplies this coming Saturday. Everything they need. All of these children are either Hispanic, English is their second language, they all are very needy. And when I see that, and I see the generosity of this congregation in looking after children, it warms my heart. I think it's probably about $7,000 or $8,000 in school supplies that this congregation has come up with for those people. I am grateful that you didn't build more storehouses, but were generous enough to give to others. And I hope that we will all be willing to wrestle with the things we have so that they don't own us, so they guard our hearts, so that we can love others and be as generous with our love toward our neighbors as God has been generous toward us in the way He's blessed us. I know I need it. I need to do some wrestling. What about you? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your scriptures that challenge us. Lord, there are times in my life where I have built more barns. And there are times in my life where I've torn them down. But Lord, help us to see and hear the balance so that we might love others and bless others in proportion to the ways You have blessed us, to reach the balance of loving You and loving our neighbor. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.